Adam, do you remember when I've travelled all this way, about 95 miles, just, mm-hmm. Just to be around your house? Yeah. Got very drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember this one? Do you remember the podcast we used to do? What was it called again?
Was it called 30 Minute Gamers? Hello and welcome. Like we said, we're back. And for the first time, Mike, all the way from Luckett Towers, you are here in the flesh. Listen, it's me slapping you around.
It's me beating you up.
So, we're back after a extended hiatus. I don't know who. I don't know who exactly we're going to blame for that.
Adam's fault.
Probably me. Okay, fair enough. But we're back, Mike.
You could blame me as well. We could do it.
It's all your fault, Mike.
A mutual. No, mutual 50-50.
Okay.
Maybe.
We'll go 60-40.
To you?
No, to you.
No,
okay. So we're back. What the hell have you been up to, Mike?
Well, been working, you know, been doing things. Been playing games, amazingly.
Fuck off. No way.
I've been playing games.
What have you been playing then?
Well, Jesus.
Since November.
Since November. Skyrim took up like 60, 70 hours of
took over
my life. Pretty much, yeah. actually had some games to play on my 3DS, Mario Kart 7,
wow.
Super Mario 3D Land.
I feel like we should not just brush past that, because we have slagged off the 3DS a hell of a lot.
We have, I think we mentioned it almost every episode.
This is episode 21, which I didn't say at the beginning. Hi and welcome to episode 21 of the 30 Minute Gamers. I'm Adam Ducker.
And I'm Mike Luckett.
And yeah, we slagged off, I think probably through every episode of that 20 episode run, we slagged off the 3DS. So we've got the time, Mike, we've got 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Tell us what has got you back playing your 3DS and why. Why those games have
it
been so special.
It actually feels like a good console, just because, well, you can't really go wrong with the Mario Kart and Mario 3D Land for Nintendo games. It took them almost a year of it being launched. There was a few good games, like I did say, but overall it was just shit. Hey! As well as that, we got Mario Kart 7. It was excellent. Online, but at least
what's wrong with the online?
It played well.
Right.
But there was just a few weird decisions in it. Like some of the items weren't that great.
Wow.
They took out Waluigi.
Yeah.
I always played as Waluigi.
Right. Well, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. End of the world. Boo wasn't in either. King Boo.
Yeah.
It's the end of the world.
Well, what characters did we replace them with?
I forgot his name, that caterpillar.
Oh yeah, the one that gets angry.
Yeah.
Not the hungry caterpillar, but the angry caterpillar.
Yeah, Rosalina from Mario Galaxy.
She was in the Wii one though too.
Yeah, she was.
Hardly a staple part of the Mario canon though.
Not really. But the big one out of the two had to be Mario 3D Land. I thought it was excellent.
I've played it briefly in my local game station. Might not be there for much longer. Maybe I'll be able to just take that demo unit home one day.
Quite possibly.
But yeah, it looks amazing.
Oh yeah.
The 3D, like, I think that's probably the game you would show off to people. But Mario Kart, I like how in Mario Kart when you've got your little glider and it puffs up and you see the wind bellowing through the glider and it sort of makes this weird little, nice little 3D effect. That shows it off well.
Yeah, well, Mario Kart, it was ace, the tracks and stuff, but it's just, the additions didn't play as much into the levels as I thought they would. I thought it really had a lot of multi-courses, you know, either going underwater, in the air, stuff like that, but it didn't really. But 3D, Mario 3D Land, excellent. The levels felt open world, but they weren't. They were linear, but he did it in like a really good way.
Mm-hmm.
Little additions, like you can save after every level to make it really pick up and play. New Super Mario Brothers on the DS, where I think it was only every like halfway through each world.
When you either beat the halfway castle or when you beat the end of level castle,
yeah.
Horde castle.
So that made it much more pick up and play. Made the 3DS feel really good. And then obviously Resident Evil Revelations come out in January, was another game I just thought of. Great single player game. Multiplayer on it's pretty cool as well.
All I know about that is you get to fight some blobs.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird. I'm not sure where that fits into the Resident Evil story. What they were before they caught the virus.
Yeah. People.
People turned into blobs.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's one fucked up virus.
Hey, they had hunters were in it.
Alright. In the back.
Yeah.
The old hunters.
In playing as like stuff which had already happened in the story.
Yeah.
Part of explaining unless you played it.
I haven't played it. Still without a 3DS.
But for a period of time, the 3DS was like my main console, and it actually felt good because it felt like it deserved it. It's just a great little console. I just liked the games. One thing I will say about Resident Evil though was I didn't get the Circle Pet Pro.
Did you not love it?
I read it and played alright without, and I played Mercenaries on the 3DS without worrying about the controls.
Mm-hmm.
So I played it and I don't see what a second joystick could have added, but maybe that's just because I never experienced it, which makes the console look a bit silly.
It does, with its off-centerness. It makes it feel very different.
Very indeed. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
What else have you been playing then? That was the 3DS.
3DS, well, now that's been sorted. What else have I been playing?
We just literally stopped our run of episodes at the end of the, at the beginning of the gaming apocalypse. And we talked about Gears of War 3 a bit. You still on with that? Multiplayer still keeping you occupied?
Yeah, I've not been playing it much recently because, well, Mass Effect 3's been out. So obviously been playing a hell of a lot of that. Still need to do some difficulty run-throughs on Gears of War 3, like on Insane, etc. But DLC packs coming out again this week, I think, for Gears of War 3. And because I'm a season pass holder, obviously I'll be getting that up.
Is that the last one for the season pass, or is there still more?
I think it's the last one.
Has it been worth it?
Yeah.
Because that's one thing. I didn't get the Uncharted season pass. Because I wasn't sure if in 6 months' time I'm still going to give a shit about Uncharted. And all I've bought is the one map pack. So I spent $7.99 instead of $24.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty happy about the decision because all Naughty Dog seem to have released is old maps and different skins. I don't give a shit about playing as Nathan Drake, but a fat version of it. Because if anything, it makes you easier to shoot at because you're bigger.
Yeah, bit of a wider target.
Exactly.
Yeah, and obviously I played Skyrim, the first Elder Scrolls game I'd ever played. I mean, it's been that long since we recorded episodes. I may have even mentioned that I wasn't even excited for Skyrim.
We both did. Yeah. I remember quite vividly that we, when we did our looking forward, that we didn't really mention it, we both brushed straight past it.
Yeah, but well, I played it, loved it, thought it was amazing, etc.
I'm still in the midst of playing it. 23 hours I think I've managed.
You've got a long way to go.
I know, I haven't even done any main quests yet.
I've hardly played it and I've played about 60-70 hours of it and I'm done with it. I unlocked all the achievements.
That's like my friend, I had 320 hours he played on Oblivion. So he's like, yeah, he's not even started. So he's basically got 300 hours over me that he spent with Oblivion. I don't know what he spent on Skyrim.
Jesus, that's a...
He's into those games though.
A hell of a long time that is.
Yeah.
Hell of a long time. Hey, have you told people what we're recording with?
No, I haven't. As I said, we're together. So we needed two mics. Three mics if we count you. You see what I did? Due to a few technical errors and wrong sockets and stuff and all that.
And me leaving my headset in Cheshire.
We are sat recording with a lovely SingStar microphone.
Amazing.
Hoping the quality is not too abysmal.
We may play this back and think it's absolutely atrocious.
But yeah. They're doing us alright. I haven't been playing SingStar, incidentally.
Oh,
yeah? I don't have SingStar.
I think you do. I think you sing.
That's the thing. No, I don't have SingStar. Surely it's cooler to say I own Beatles Rock Band. That's why I have the SingStar mics. I think we're alright on that. But I haven't been playing Beatles Rock Band recently. I'm trying to think. I've listened to you waffle on. My Christmas was a bit different, more casual.
As
anyone that's on my PSN will have seen, whilst a lot of time off with my girlfriend, we indulged in a bit more casual gaming. So it was first order of the day was we played through Lego Indiana Jones. Well, good game.
I can't fault Lego games. I do enjoy them.
Not without its problems though. Playing it in co-op, my girlfriend had never played a 3D game before.
Oh god!
And it got very confusing for her when we got to bits where anything meant that we had to go into the screen, so to speak, to the back of a room or something. I'd be like, right, you need to go to the back of the room. She's like, what do you mean? And I mean, Lego Indiana Jones has all the Lego games have a pretty weird jump system. It's quite loose and it's not as tight as Mario. So she's getting very frustrated that she never really knew where exactly she was going to land. So I think it's been introduced for a casual reason, but she found it hard because all she's used to playing is Mario, who is very precise physics-based jumping. So that caused problems, but we soldiered through and completed it.
Wee.
So much so that she bought me Lego Batman for my birthday to play through at some point.
Wee.
My other casual game offerings, we played Carnival Island, a move game. Play a variety of carnival games. It's fucking shit. And we also had a great night of playing Dance Star Party, made by the SingStar people. Uses the move controller, bit of dancing. It's pretty good actually. Seems to pick you up a lot better.
You any good at it?
Yeah, we've got 3 stars and a few songs.
Amazing.
You know, like No Speak Americana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not bad. So seems to pick you up better than like Just Dance does on the Wii. You can't really get away with just standing shaking the remote. But then it obviously doesn't pick you up to the same fidelity that something like Dance Central does on the Kinect, because that's tracking your whole body properly.
Yeah, but does it track very well? I know nothing about the game.
Dance Central on the Kinect, yeah, it's pretty good. You can't fool it. Dance Star Party you can fool a little bit.
Hmm.
But it's still, because the move's more sensitive than the Wiimote, you've still got to do... I think it's harder to try and approximate what the move should be than to actually do the move itself. Whereas with the Wiimote, you could just swing it from left to right and still pass all the songs.
Yeah.
So yeah, casual Christmas. Then as soon as Christmas was over, went back hardcore. I don't know what I played though. Finished off Ico. I think we may have already discussed that. Just looking through the old games. Picked up, it was a good opportunity whilst we've been away. I have filled in a lot of my gaming gaps of last year. So I played Mortal Kombat, which I was looking forward to, but didn't play. £7 from Morrison's. Played Rage.
Mm-hmm.
Which we were both looking forward to playing after Extra Life when we watched Luke play it.
Yeah.
And it's good. Good solid shooter. In the Doom mold, the Quake mode, lots of... It's not open world, which is a bit of a thing that it tried to sell itself on, and it's a bit of a lie, really.
Yeah.
You are just going from point A to B, and then basically getting inside a building and doing... And it's an experience akin to, like, Doom. Corridor shooter, people jumping out and you're trying to scare you.
Awesome.
Very samey enemies. But it's a good game. Definitely recommended. I mean, it's dirt cheap everywhere now. You're not going wrong with it.
No.
As long as you know what to expect.
So, have you been playing much else?
I started Skyrim. Stopped it for Mass Effect.
Mass Effect is awesome.
Ah! Oh, another thing I finished off that I bought ages ago, the Back to the Future series. Definitely up there as one of the best written games last year. So funny. It's a good thing that they had all the fans, the Robert Zemeckis and Bob Dale, whatever the hell he's called, they oversaw it. So the writing was top notch. Nothing in there that wrecks any of the canon of the three films.
Good.
All nicely bundled together, packaged. Nice little, some really good twists in it. Don't want to wreck them for anyone that hasn't played.
I've not played them.
Definitely. Like, I was a little bit disappointed. It does centre around one particular period in time. But some of the things they work in are really clever. So it's definitely worth picking up. Anyone who's not bought the Back to the Future game. Coming out on disc soon.
Oh, is it?
On Wii and PS3, I think, yeah.
What about the Xbox?
Telltale are weird with the Xbox, aren't they? They've released all the Sam and Max things and left them behind with Back to the Future and Tales of Monkey Island, I think.
Hey, speaking of cheap games. Cheap games. I managed to pick up L.A. Noire the other day for £1.69.
Mm-hmm. How the hell?
Well, it was pre-owned for £8 something. I had a £5 voucher with game because they messed up my Mass Effect 3 pre-order because of reasons we probably all know about. And then I had some reward points, so I had to pay £1.69. Of course, we all know the company we're talking about, don't we, Adam? Because I think you got some cheap games from them recently.
Yeah, there's a stack over there waiting to go in with all the rest in alphabetical order.
Quite a big stack.
For like 18, nearly 19 quid, I got however many games it is, 9 games or something.
Yeah.
I mean, also, as well, you look at them, some of them aren't that old. Warhammer Space Marine came out the week before Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
Paid £1.98 for it.
Well, Dead Space 2 is only
Dead Space 2 is not
a year
old yet.
Yeah.
I bought both the Dead Space games for like, Dead Space 2 was £4.98, Dead Space 1 was £1.98.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
can't argue with them prices.
Exactly. And why? So everybody knows, I mean, you have to be, it's even hit mainstream press, it's been on the BBC
it's
news.
Been on the news, papers, everything.
The game are going tits up, basically.
Going down the shitter.
I mean, we even have what could attribute to as breaking news today that the Sunday Express has been reporting on, saying that game is now talking of a collapse and that they think administration self is imminent, as in, they're going to start selling off all their assets, not they're going to start selling off the company. So we're talking removal of stock, Any buildings that they actually own, they may sell them or cancel the leases because they have this massive £21 million rent bill due tomorrow. It doesn't look like things are going smoothly for them.
No, and in case you've all been living under a rock for the past, how long do you reckon now? 2 weeks has this been going on? Well,
maybe a little bit longer.
You can start it a bit longer. I think it all started with the banks, wasn't it? Withdrawing, not giving them credit.
Yeah, they had to, I think it may go as way back as like November or something when they had to renegotiate their lending facilities with the banks. I think it's Barclays is the major one.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they announced they were doing store closures. So they have, to some extent, they preempted this move.
Yep.
But clearly not enough. And I mean, you only have to look. We're on a MCV, we had a look earlier.
Yep.
And there's just a catalogue of deadlines about the crisis ensuing. And it really all came to a head, I think.
Mass Effect 3, I think, is when that's
when it
all
Vita,
started.
Maybe. Because they weren't going to stop the Vita originally.
Yeah, that's a big...
Ubisoft, because they don't actually own any of... That's the weird thing. They, like, you'll notice no Vita stuff's gone down in price because they don't own any of the Vita stock. It's all being loaned to them by Sony.
There was no game in January which they didn't stock.
I don't remember.
Wasn't it Nintendo? Something?
Can't remember.
Because I remember there were some, there were a few games that didn't get released and it was getting closer to Mass Effect 3. I had the Collector's Edition pre-ordered, exclusive.
Tekken was one.
Tekken,
because that was
it.
The one that prompted me to say to you, you want to watch your Mass Effect,
yeah,
you?
So I'm tweeting game, on this end of the game, tweeting you back, saying, no, definitely getting it in stock. Get, what was it, a week before Mass Effect 3's launch? Again, the Collector's Edition was exclusive, so you'd like to think that they've already got the money sorted for that.
Yeah.
Big, Mass Effect 3, we're not stocking it. And when you think about the publisher, EA, Electronic Arts, probably the biggest publisher in the world, third party.
Yeah.
Would you say? Yeah.
The fact I suppose technically Activision Blizzard bigger. But that's the only one you could argue that are bigger than EA.
One of the biggest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in the top two.
They're not stocking it. Obviously, that was massive news. And from my memory, that's just when it really started to go up Schitt's Creek.
Because after then, it seemed to be a game after a game because there was SSX as well, another EA game.
Yeah.
And then it turned out EA weren't sending stock. It depends who you believe. If you read some things, some people say EA were assholes asking for cash up front and stuff. Other people, some reports said that Game tried to change their credit agreement for the game. So whatever the thing is, they pissed off EA and didn't feel like they could supply them with
the
stock.
Then, I mean, EA obviously big company, but at the end of the day, they're in business, aren't they? They're in it for money, and if they couldn't get guaranteed money, that's obviously what they're after.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're not going to supply Game with a million copies of Mass Effect.
And potentially not getting any money back.
Then if Game go into administration or whatever, EA just join the list of creditors. And you get, like as we've seen with football clubs, sometimes you have millions of pounds of debt wiped out and you go into administration, you end up getting like 20p to the pound back.
Yeah.
So
like your team, Portsmouth.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do that, but
yeah.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and it just... It's gone worse, hasn't it?
Since then, it's been a catalogue of this game's not being stocked, this game's not being stocked.
And then
it's basically no new games have been stocked, unless they're Vita games, because Sony are willing to let them
loan
them. Which isn't an uncommon practice, as people make out. I worked for a large chain retailer once. And
really?
They outsourced all their music stock to not be owned by them.
Yeah.
Don't worry, Schmiths, may as well say the name. Towards the end of when they started doing music, all their chart CDs, they weren't actually owned by the Rich Smiths. It was another company that hired the shelf space to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
It worked out more profitable. So it does happen more than people think.
Yeah.
But not tends to happen with Game.
Yeah, we're going on about their demise. You've mentioned the breaking news that we're reading at the moment that, you know, they made, obviously, last week they called in administrators, didn't they? Which is a proper doom and gloom thing. And now this thing you've got on your screen there about them actually talking about collapse.
Yeah. It looks like they're struggling to find a buyer that will meet the terms they need. Investment company called Hilco, they're a retail specialist, they pulled out. Op Capita, who also own Comet.
Yep.
Something's gone on between them and they couldn't agree on a price. Says here that they probably offered way below the asking price. They wouldn't even meet the thing. Because what happens is the administrator puts together a package and say, right, this is how much proof of funds you've got to provide. The chances are Game are probably going to get bought for £1 off whoever decides to buy them or something ridiculous.
Let's do it.
Because they're not on the stock. We haven't got the proof of funds, Mike. We'd have to prove that we can meet all their debt.
Yeah.
But then the debt's the amount the administrators are working out and some companies are probably going, no, I don't want to take that on. GameStop have in America have registered an interest, but it seems they're more interested in buying the Spanish shops. Yeah. I think they came out on Friday and said they're only interested in being a digital company in the UK, so they only want to sell digital goods or online, selling stock through your online store. Yeah. So it's not looking good, and there is a statement, sort of, it's not quoted who it's by, but it says, effectively, this means that if a pre-pack administration sale is off the card, the only hope for game is that a buyer such as GameStop may buy some of their assets, like key stores and facilities. It would, however, mean an end to the game group as we know it, and possibly the closure of all or some of game or GameStation stores as early as tomorrow morning, Mike.
Tomorrow morning.
I'm thinking, do I need to be in sick at work tomorrow and go and run down to game and just be like, look, I'll give you a tenner for the whole lot.
Yeah.
Or go to one of the employees, right, what are you getting paid for this month? Because you're not getting it off game. I'll give you it and just let me empty the shop out. I've got a van, let's go.
Yeah, let's do this. But we've discussed about all the news, which everyone knows about, and I know it's been discussed in detail. But why has this happened, Adam?
I think...
Why has Game Group, the biggest retailer for games in the UK, in the streets... Why has it gone tits up?
I think there's three crucial reasons. Three. One, they bought out all their competition, effectively destroying any need to compete on the high street. Woolworths went tits up. That was good for them. Dwight Schmidt's to really scale back their gaming stuff. So in a lot of town centres, there's HMV and there's a game and a game station. That's it.
And in case anyone doesn't know, Game Station is owned by Game Group, in case
they bought
been living under a rock.
Yeah. They bought them. HMV are not a company for offering great prices either. So
really?
It's left the high street prices again stagnating, and Game have got away with ludicrous prices. Like, you want a new DualShock controller? You're going to pay $39.99 for it in store. You can get them online at plenty of places for about £25.
Yeah.
That's the key reason. GameStation's competition with them was a good thing for the customer and ultimately a good thing for them.
GameStation was pretty cool when it first opened, I remember, because the nearest game to me is in a town called Crewe.
Mm-hmm.
And when GameStation opened there, it was pretty cool inside.
Yeah, I think
out.
That's the other reason I was going to say is a massive reason why I think Game are struggling. When you look in America, GameStop, a blossoming company across America and Canada, they have the more of the GameStation vibe, I feel. They're more of a hobbyist shop, an enthusiast shop. Like, Games somehow managed to create the world's gaudiest logo.
Yeah.
And all their stuff is, like, there's a picture on this MCV thing. There's, you can see purple and yellow together. It's the most gaudiest shop in the world. But also, they somehow managed to do that whilst it also being a really sterile shopping experience. There's nothing exciting about a game store.
No, it's quite boring when you walk in.
Whereas you used to go in game stations, and like the game station at mine's got all like figurines and behind the counter and stuff. They used to have this amazing glass cabinet with all retro stuff in some...
Proper geeky stuff which appeals to...
And they always used to have statues and stuff. It was a proper enthusiast shop. And that's what GameStop's like in America, a lot of them. People in America don't necessarily like GameStop, but I think it's a much more inviting environment to go into. Like, games are awful, terrible places to go into. I don't like, even down to the lighting, there's the brightest lighting in the world. Like, I could look at the sun and my eyes would feel better directly and it'd be alright. So there's that reason, and a horrible customer experience, I feel, when you're in there.
Yeah, and it's the main part was the general pricing, wasn't it? I mean, it's like,
that is the biggest deal.
I mean, obviously, if I'm talking from personal examples, as in how many of them there are, I go to Cardiff quite regularly. There is a game in an indoor shopping centre. I walk outside. There's a game about 30-40 second walk from there.
Yeah.
And there's even... there's just the two in Cardiff. Trafford Centre. That's the other one I'm thinking of in Manchester.
Yeah.
Again, there's three in there. There's one downstairs, one upstairs, and there's one in... I think it's Selfridges. You know, just like a small one, but it's still like branded game.
Yeah.
So there's three there. Why do you need three of the same shop?
It's
in a place, I mean, Trafford Centre, yeah, it's reasonably big, but still.
It's like in York. There's a game. Then further down the road, there's what used to be an EB, but they merged.
Yep.
So that EB became a game. And then right across the road from there is a game station. You were literally talking 2 minutes when you each other.
Yeah, well, game and game station and crew are a good 30-second walk. 30 seconds.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's why it's a shame. I wish somebody else would come in and look at the game station and say, right, I'll buy a game station off you, and somebody else would go and separate it.
Yeah. Oh, just remembered, in the timeline of things, they also own Gameplay Online, didn't they?
Yeah.
They closed down Gameplay.
Closed down Gameplay.
Before the shit really hit the fan, didn't they, with everything in the news?
This is annoying. Gameplay, back in the day, used to be one of those first, like, when I first started shopping online, I used Gameplay and Play.
Yeah,
because there were two really big companies you wanted to do. And it's a shame that they let themselves all fall under Game's CD umbrella.
They did, and you go in there, and it's like, they were still releasing like PS3 games for like £50. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. Going to Asda, £38, £39.40. You know, so the pricings wouldn't just work that way. And obviously, I can only assume that they were so expensive because they couldn't compete mm-hmm. with the online shops.
Yeah.
But even Games Online shops, crap.
It's one of those things like, they're getting less customers in the door, so their solution is to raise the price, so they're making more money for everything they actually do sell. In practice, that doesn't work, because then you get even less people coming in through the doors.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I guess we haven't got long left to talk, but I feel like the success of Mass Effect 3 in this country
yeah.
has proven that the gaming industry can still survive without game. At first, there was a lot of doom and gloom, people saying, nah, it's going to be a bad thing. But I'm not so sure. There's been a lot of big winners from Game's demise. Lots of indies have come out. Eurogamer featured quite a few of them saying, like, oh, we've definitely benefited from going to do it. I think Shop 2, they've been bloody clever with some of their marketing.
Yeah.
The day it was announced that Game weren't going to stock Resident Evil, they posted it as news on their website, and then they sent an email out to all their customers saying, Capcom recommend that you now transfer a pre-order to Shop 2. I think that was a little bit of bullshit on their part.
Yeah.
But I mean, fair play to them. They see this as Shop 2, a relatively new company,
mm-hmm.
backed themselves on this proprietary delivery system they have, which if you've not seen on the video on YouTube, is amazing.
Yeah.
They can show you how they can get products out to you in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what they've always sold themselves on. And price. I think that's becoming less of a thing. The games are slowly creeping up in price.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you can order a game at 5 o'clock and have it guaranteed there the next day, the game...
Can't really argue, can you?
Shop 2 are fucking... They're sussing this out, I'd say.
Yeah, and obviously, just with the prices, you've got the likes of Shop 2, all they have to pay is for a massive warehouse, the stuff in there, few staff, printing machines, that's it. Or obviously, like, for the game stores, you're paying for the rent if you don't own the building, or the upkeep of the building, or the marketing they have to change, the point of sale, the staff. You can see why it's cheaper to run shops online, and obviously, and games just haven't been able to compete.
And it's not just that, you've just said all the things that go into a shop. They're doing that 3 times on some high streets. High street retail estate is not a cheap thing to be owning. And when you're owning 3 on some, like, there's probably a fair... Oh, we're done. I'll finish my point.
Quick.
And then the client will come. There's a fair amount of streets.
Shut up.
Shush now. I forgot you gotta do that. the Clarkson is back and causing havoc. They can't afford to pay that, and I bet there's about 20 cities in this country where they've got 3 stores. And what fucking company can afford to keep that and sustain it?
And obviously as well, I think Game's way of getting round the higher prices, because you notice they managed to get exclusives for most things.
Yeah.
They've also paid for the exclusives, but
the premium.
I've shopped with Game a lot the past year just because they've been the company with the exclusives. Gears of War 3, the Epic Edition, and others, and Sonic Generations is Amazon. But they've had loads, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Mike, you have had 30 minutes to talk about what the hell you've been playing. Game's demise. What else would you like to do to round off the show today in a mere 30 seconds?
I think I've pretty much said what I want to say for this episode. Obviously, Mass Effect 3 is amazing. Easy to get a hold of. Again, Shop 2, another company, to very quick to jump on Games Collector's Edition exclusive demise. Luckily, I was not in work at the time. Quickly stuck my pre-order in. Shop 2.
Yeah.
Got it.
We have to say big thanks to Cube on the End Europe forums, I think it was.
It was, yes.
He posted, thanks. Like, seriously, guys, get going now.
Yeah.
Game and not stopping it.
So it worked out better. I got a better delivery and I paid £6 less. The Shop 2 was only £64, something like 70.
£6 for collector's edition is a lot of money. If you do that over the year, if you buy a lot of them, there's another reason Game are going tits up. If fucking Shop 2 could knock £6 off the price like that.
Yeah, we should run a shop online.
Okay.
Maybe not.
From here?
Yeah, why not?
Alright. Why the hell not?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it's great to be back, Mike.
I think it's great indeed.
Next week we are going to be doing a Mass Effect 3 spoiler cast.
Yeah.
Is that not right?
Yeah.
So, if you haven't played Mass Effect 3, you've got a week to get cracking and get finished. We will be discussing not just the ending, but everything else that comes. I think that's it, Mike.
I think
it's
that's
time
it
to say live. From here.
From Harrogate.
Bye.
for now.
Bye.
My end of happy. Do the zoom in anymore. Because that's going to be quiet.
Yeah. Fine.
I needed a shit for ages.
That's on tape.